يؤلسني تو مركز الصحابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا، الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا، ورسول الله معلمنا. هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا، الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا، ورسول الله معلمنا. هذا القرآن هو الهادي لأوائلنا وأواخرنا، يدعو للعلم وللعمل، لا شيء سواه يهذبنا. هذا القرآن هو الهادي لأوائلنا وأواخرنا، يدعو للعلم وللعمل، لا شيء سواه يهذبنا. كتاب الله لا شيء سواه يهذبنا،
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. And welcome to the mid-morning show with myself, Brother Suleiman Isuf, every Tuesday, Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. Today being the 25th of Shawwal 1446, corresponding to Thursday the 24th of April 2025. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful, beautiful day today. Cool weather, Alhamdulillah. Johannesburg has been having a lot of rain, and Alhamdulillah, one should read the Muslim dua. Allahumma sayyibun, as Mufti Saab was saying yesterday, Allahumma sayyibun wa dasad, Allahumma sayyibun nafya, O Allah, grant us beneficial rain. We're going to be crossing over to our brother Alpha Sinkosi, and he's going to be giving us the lowdown as to what's going to be happening on his show. Brother Alpha, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sulia. I'm well, man. Thanks. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. I hope that you are in the best of spirits. I know that you were under the weather yesterday, and hope that you have recovered.
No, well, inshallah. Coming well together.
All right, that's good. Brother Alfas, give us a rundown as to what's going to be happening on your show today between 12 and 1.
You know, sorry, do you know the saying when they say a thief comes in the wee hours or in the middle of the night?
Sorry, Alfas, I never catch that.
No, I'm saying, they say a thief comes in the middle of the night.
A thief, yes.
That's what is happening in this country. Treasury released a statement after 12 a.m. Saying, from the finance minister, saying that, look, the VAT increase is going to be reversed. 12 a.m. And you ask yourself, who's up to read media statements at the time? So we're going to dwell much into this VAT reversal, because, you know, doomsayers have been saying that it's not going to happen the 1st of May here, but with the pressure of the Democratic Alliance and the court cases, so we're going to dwell much into that matter, because even the minister, Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana, approached the DA and say, can you settle this matter out of court? I will reverse that. So I think that's the most biggest story today. And the second biggest story is Zelensky touched down early this morning in South Africa. So we want to look into that. But based on that, to align the two issues, have you ever heard, we always read and speak about the rand is trading at 19 rand 25 cents to the US dollar. But do we know what are the components that takes the rand to trade at that particular amount? So what we're going to look at as well is all those components, what the data that is it's been garnered, the data that is put together in order for the rand to trade to a certain amount of money with other currencies. Because, I mean, you can see financial indicators there, but then what are the values behind? What's behind the rand to trade against other currencies? So today it's all about money, 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 and we'll take, on that note, we'll take political analysis on the reversal of that. Will the DA still stay in the GNU? It seems as if the DA are the big winners yet. You know, because now the minister says no, he's reversing. There's no longer going to be a 0.5 percentage VAT hike. So all these political parties within the GNU, what are they saying? I think we'll speak to Ville Oukamp, we'll speak to Athol Trollip, just to take us through to their comments and what has transpired in that process of consultation. And then the crux of the matter is that the approach by the finance minister to the DA to say, let's settle this out of court. What does it mean now to the GNU partners? That's what we have to show today.
Thank you so much for that, for your time, Brother Alphas, and we'll catch up with you a little bit later.
Thank you very much, Sula.
Thank you, Brother Alphas. And that was our host, Brother Alphas, and we're going to be discussing how has the VAT been reversed. And like he said, when a thief breaks into a home, most of the time, majority of the time, a thief breaks in the evenings and early hours of the morning. And like he mentioned, that they passed this, they made a statement at 12 a.m., a press release statement that the VAT increase has been scrapped. So we're going to get hold of him a little bit later, and he's going to divulge, and we're going to listen as to why and to how did that come to into effect, where they came to a decision where they're going to scrap the VAT. It's gone to 15 minutes past 10 Central African time. I was speaking to one of my colleagues earlier, and I asked him, what should I speak about today? And surprisingly, he told me, human rights. In Islam, it's so important that we should treat other humans with kindness and compassion. And our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen, is rahmatul lil alameen, was sent down as a mercy unto mankind. Not only unto other religions or other castes, but unto mankind as a whole. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to this, into this dunya, to this world, to abolish all these other types of jahiliyyah and ignorance and the people who are arrogant, and to show them the light of Sirat al-Mustaqim, and to show them how to be compassionate towards a fellow human being. The fundamental human right in Islam is, as we all define, and in the Holy Quran and the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam provide details about social responsibility of the state with respect to the fundamental human right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, Surah 5, verse 32, whoever kills a human being without any reason, like murder or corruption on earth, is as though he has killed all of mankind. And on the flip side, and whoever saves a human or saves another life, is as though he has saved mankind. Just like how the Muslim Ummah, when the one part of the body, like our beloved brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Syria, in Afsham, they are suffering because of these people, the Zionists and the Munafiq and the Kuffar, that are destroying them and trying to eradicate them. But the iman is so strong. The iman is so strong that whenever one of their loved ones pass away, what do they say? Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakil. Hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakil. They have faith and they have that yaqeen and tawakkal in Allah that their family members have become shuhada, that they have attained the status of martyrdom. Some of them actually say that, Ya Allah, why did you not take me as a shuhada? They fight for the deen of Islam. 75 years, they cannot come right in attaining Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa is protected, divinely protected by Almighty Allah. How can you try and take something that is divinely protected, that is protected by Almighty Allah? Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam walked on that Mubarak land. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam took the miraculous journey of Mi'raj, all the 125,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam performed salah behind Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imagine. And so many miraculous births and Anbiya have come out from Palestine. And how Mubarak it is. Just in Hebron, so the scholars have said that the mazar of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is there. Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam is there. We cannot say that it's truly there, but that's what majority of the scholars say, that the blessed Mubarak graves are there and in Masjid in Hebron. Khalilullah, Khalil Rahman, and just last week, that Mawlana Zaid Khan and Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahib spoke about the importance of Masjid Khalil Rahman in Hebron and how Mubarak is that place. And when we speak about the freedom, you know, in human rights and the freedom of religion and the expression of religion, we are so blessed to be living in this country that there is no restriction on our deen. Look how many masajids are there just in lands alone, in Indonesia alone. The other day I was doing a survey and say, like, you know, how many masajid are there in Indonesia alone? I counted 45 masajid. 45 masajid here in Malens alone. Now imagine in the small, well, you can say it's relatively big, right? But the span that you can, there's so many masajids in and around Lens, it's unbelievable. 45, and look how we should be grateful. We should make shukr to Almighty Allah that Allah Ta'ala has given us the opportunity and given us such freedom to practice our religion. Practice our deen. In some of the other countries, it is so sad that sometimes the masajids are a distance of maybe 40 kilometers away from each other. Sometimes even more. Some people have to travel 1.5 hours. Some people have to walk to the nearest masajid. And yeah, we are so blessed to have masajids in and around our area. You can read Asr in Lens. You can make it for Maghrib in Robert Sham Crown Gardens. You can make it there. If you're going, then you can make it to Maghrib in Houghton. If you're going from Houghton, then you can make it for Isha in Madran. Look how the span. You can make each Salah in a different masajid. How beautiful is our country, and that we should make shukr that we are not restricted like other countries, where the call of the adhan alone, Allahu Akbar. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. Come to salah and come to success. Salah is the key important thing in our life. It's a fundamental pillar of Islam. It's one of the five pillars of Islam. And that salah is a connection between you and Almighty Allah. You know, I was seeing something yesterday. when you say Allahu Akbar, when we lift our hands, we are building that connection, that conversation. Now we fold our hands, we are connected with Almighty Allah. We are having that beautiful conversation. We must have khushu in our salah. We should stand and we should read. That if you want to try and have the khushu in your salah, obviously you can't for concentration purposes now and again, but the scholars say that you should not close your eyes and read your salah. You should rather keep it open. But picture yourself being in front of Baytullah, in Kaabatullah, in Makkatul Mukarramah. You are standing in front of the Kaaba Sharif. The same Kaaba Sharif where Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam built the Kaaba. You are standing there and you are performing your salah. How much concentration that you have in your salah, and you will understand, you will feel, you will enjoy. You will see how much, and you know when you go in sajda, when you make sajda, you make that dua, you read the Subhana Rabbil A'la. And you know you can make that dua, you have that short period where you can make dua. You can read a Rabbana, you can read an Arabic dua. The closest that you are to Almighty Allah is when your head is on the forehead. Your forehead is on the ground. When your forehead is on the ground, your du'as are heard in the heavens with the malaika. You make that du'a, you cry, and you make that du'a. Just like how when we in Madinatul Manawara, we read that now the gods only allow you to read two rakat, and they say, Hajji, 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 come, they tell you to move, tell you to move, tell you to move. But when you're in that salah, when you're making salah, they cannot move you. You take your time and you make that dua. You make your dua in such that you cry to Almighty Allah. Ask whatever your heart desires, halal, jai duas. Whatever your heart desires, you turn to Allah and you ask, Hey Allah, this is what I want. You pour your heart out. You've got four sajdas to make. In that four sajdas, you can pull 5 minutes, 10 minutes sajda. They can't chase you because you are, in salah. That's one thing that they can't do. They can't chase you, or they can't move you whilst you're in salah. The moment they see you make salam, you quickly get up, you make another two rakat. They can't chase you. But you must make that opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran, in Surah Baqarah, verse 256, and who is more unjust than the one who forbids the glorification of Allah in the place of worship and tries to disturb the same? Just a perfect example about when now I'm speaking that how the freedom of religion and the freedom of expressing our going for salah. We had this COVID pandemic where they closed the masajids. No? But look at this, that the iman and the faith of the people. Even though that they closed the masajids, but the salah still went on. We still made a plan. Why? We still made a plan. Why? Because we want to have that connection with Almighty Allah. That love for the salah and for the connection, because we were sad that they closed the masajids. But our hearts were still connected to that musalla. Wherever we could find a place to read salah, we made it, we did it. So we should, and the next thing, honor and dignity. Every person has the right to enjoy respect and have honor in society. We are not allowed to defame a person through wrong accusation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran in Surah 4, Surah An-Nisa, verse 148, Allah does not like the evil that to be spread. And even in Surah woe to every scandal monger and backbiter. Look at Allah Ta'ala's warning to the person who backbites. That's another thing now. You know, in society also, you get a lot of people. They don't want to see you strive. Not to you being better than them. But they don't want to see you come up in life. Unfortunately, you know, it's a sad state of affairs, but that's how the people have become. You hear many people say, you know what, they won't support you because it's you. Anyone else, they'll do it. But because it's you, they won't go that extra mile for you and they won't support you in whatever you do. If you tell somebody, you know what, I'm opening up a business, they'll be like, oh, you know, no, mashallah, you know what. But they won't give you that word of encouragement. They'd rather tell you, you know what, you saw the times of today. Business is not good. Things are bad. The financial economy is not good. You know, stick where you are. You know, you get the, you want to upgrade your life. But then they'll tell you, no, just do what you are doing. Don't do anything better. Instead of saying, you know what, we make dua for you, that Allah make it easy for you and whatever you are going to do, you know, words of encouragement, rather they demoralize you. They rather put you down and say, you know what, nah, you know what, you don't do it. But that same person will take that idea and they'll do the same thing. Then you think to yourself, how? Just this, the other day, this person was telling me, or a couple months ago, the person was telling me that I mustn't do 1, 2, 3. Now he goes and opens the same thing and the same idea I proposed to him and told him what I want to do. Now he goes and does the same thing. Now, we should be happy for our Muslim brother that he wants to excel in his life. Not go and put him down, or whatever the case is. Inshallah, we're going to go for a small nasheed break. And when we return, we will have our segment where we listen to a lecture, inshallah. If you have any comments, anything that you'd like to say, you can send a message on 084-786-3132. International Overseas Listeners, +27 84786-3132.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jamaah.
This Quran will guide us to the path of good. Allah Ta'ala anzalahu wa Rasulullah mu'allimuna. رسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا رسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن هو الهادي لأوائلنا وأواخرنا يدعو للعلم وللعمل لا شيء سواه يؤلمنا هذا القرآن هو الهادي لأوائلنا وأواخرنا يدعو للعلم وللعمل لا شيء سواه يؤلمنا كتاب الله شيئا سوى يهذبنا العمل به كتاب الله شيئا سوى يهذبنا هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا هو معجزة الله الكبرى عن سر الكون يحدثنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا هو معجزة الله الكبرى عن سر الكون يحدثنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا فالعمل نحن بمنهجه هيا يا عم هم بنا فلنعمل نحن بمنهجه هيا يا رب هلم بنا هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا رسول الله معلمنا.
You are listening to Merkaz al-Sahaba, the voices of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
28 minutes, 27 minutes to 11 Central African time. We're going to be listening to a lecture by Maulana Suleiman Qahtani, and it is titled The Quality of a True Mu'min, Quality of a True Muslim.
أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين صدق الله العظيم. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من غدا إلى المسجد لا يريد أن إلا أن يتعلم خيرا أو يعلمه كان له كأجر حاج تاما حجته أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama kiram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, the verse of the Quran which I recited in the beginning, for those who will recollect last week also, we discussed on the one hand the extreme benevolence, mercy, kindness, compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the fifth pillar of Islam, Hajj, represents from the point of view of the type of reward and recompense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. Al-Hajj al-Mabroor laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. Al-Hajj al-Mabroor laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. It's very difficult to actually do justice to translate this expression with the correct nuance and underlying meaning of this. But not literal, to break it down to our understanding, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, can you even contemplate any other recompense for an accepted Hajj but Jannah? Almost as if Jannah is guaranteed. Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's important for you and I to try to appreciate and understand the effect these type of declarations of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have upon them. Human beings, as I mentioned last week, their psyche is made up in such a way, Allah has made you and I in such a way, that we are naturally competitive. We observe this. Little siblings, as they grow up in the house, almost every day, small children, they fight with one another. They want the better toy, they want the better food, they want the better clothing. This is a natural expression of what Allah has placed in every human being. We are competitive by nature. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, one of the fundamental efforts that they made was what we call zehen sazi, conditioning the hearts and minds of the ummah. Islam is deen fitrat. Islam fitrat Allah allati fatara an-nasa alayha. There is nothing in our deen and sharia that is not 100% aligned to human nature. That is why when a man's life is on deen, naturally he has this itminan, he has this sukoon, he has this peace of mind, he has this tranquility. And when a man, when someone, Allah protect us, is involved in guna and sins, then whoever it may be, he may have the lowest of the lowest of iman, but he will always be bechain, he will always be restless. There will not be that inner enjoyment in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's disobedience. Why? Because Islam is deen fitrat. It's part of our nature. And when competing with one another is in our nature, Shariat is not going to take us away from that. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam encouraged competition. He encouraged us to be competitive. Quran encourages us to be competitive. A hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly addressed this competitive spirit of humanity and encouraged it. The only difference, the zehen sazi, the conditioning of the minds and the heart, was to change the direction of the competition. Your neighbor opened up a new shop. Your business competitor is bringing in a new line. Somebody who is on an equal social standing with you is suddenly starting to do very well financially. Or some relative of yours, his children are doing very well in school. You become irritated. This worries you. Sometimes it gives you sleepless nights. What is this? This is an indication of the attachment of the heart with dunya. You and I today are competing in dunya because dunya has become beloved in this heart. And this, as I mentioned last week, Imam Hassan Basri, the great sage of Islam, rahimahullah, he said, إِذَا رَيْتَ الرَّجُلُ يُنَافِسْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَنَافِسُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. He said, don't be a fool. When you see someone competing in dunya, become a millionaire, become a millionaire, become a trillionaire. Make as many businesses as you want, gather as much investments as you want. But the reality at the time of maut, at the time of death, when Malakul Maut presents himself, Inna ja'alna ma'al al-ard zinatan laha al-malu wal-banun zinatul hayatid dunya. How many places in the Quran may Allah constantly reminds us that whatever you can see, whatever you amass of this dunya, do whatever you want, at maut, at death, it is zero. Kuch bhi saath nahi aa rahe, nothing is coming with. The wealth will be left behind. What will come with you? What is a sign of intelligence? What was the effort that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made on the hearts of the ummah, on the hearts of sahaba? That value is amal, value is deen, value is taqwa. Umayr bin Humam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the medan is Badr. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ta'arradu ila jannah. Ta'arradu, this has an underlying meaning of strive, outdo one another. The verse of the Quran I recited in the beginning, sabiqu, may Allah commands you and I, run, outdo the next person, reach the height, leave him behind. Sabiqu, ta'arradu, but to what? Not one shop to two shops, not rands and dollars, not the investments of this world, not things you are going to leave behind. Ila jannatin, ardu as-samawati wal-ard, compete with one another for jannat. Compete with one another for Allah's pleasure. Compete with one another for sunnah. Compete with one another for amal and deen. Ta'arradu ila jannatin, ardu as-samawati wal-ard. Sahabi hears this. Bakin, starts jumping with joy. There's no literal translation, so they start jumping with joy. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, what has happened, Umair? Why have you reacted like this? Ma hamalaka ala qawlika bakin. Like how you and I will start jumping for joy if someone gives us one guaranteed investment opportunity. Bring in this line or put your money here, it's going to multiply exponentially, guaranteed. Like how we become excited, Sahaba would become excited about Akhirat, about Amal, about Deen. This halqa of Ta'aleem that we are encouraged to sit, establish in every masjid, and today it's a travesty that is just a few handful of brothers. Those that are going regularly in Tabligh, even amongst them it is so weak. The show of this inclination to sit in that halqa. Hear what Allah is going to give you. Hear the promises of Allah. Like I mentioned last week, I'm mentioning it again this week. By coming early for Jummah, by walking to the masjid to come for Jummah, on every step my Nabi said, Allah will give you the reward of fasting for 1 year. Allah will give you the reward of one night's tahajjud salah on every step. How is it even possible if we had yaqeen and conviction on amal that at the time of Jummah, right up till the khutbah, the masjid is three-quarter empty? How is it even possible? Fajr salah. When my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla fi subha fi jama'atin, fahuwa fi dhimmatillah. When every one of us is scared every time we walk out of our house, every time our children go to play, we are scared. We are scared about what? Security. We are scared about aman. We are scared about protection. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had write this down in stone. The seven heavens and the seven earths can come to an end. Not one word of lie passed through his Mubarak lips. He said, you want Allah's protection? Read Fajr Salah with Jamaat. Those of us who are wealthy will pay a security company to protect our children and our families. But the masjid, 2-3 safs at the time of Fajr, and that too in winter when Fajr is 6 o'clock and past 6 o'clock. What is this an indication of, my respected brothers? It is an indication of the lack of conviction of amal. And this is why it is so important in every home, in every masjid, daily take out the time to sit in the halqa of ta'aleem. Hear what Allah and His Rasul is promising us. Slowly, drop by drop, eventually that conviction will start coming in the heart. Sahaba, this was a daily occurrence in Madinah Munawwara. Coming back to the incident I was mentioning, my Nabi, look at how he puts water in the mouth of Sahaba. Ta'arradu ila Jannah. Jannah is waiting for you. Why are you holding back? Sahabi is excited, jumping up and down. Bakin, bakin. Ma hamalaka ala qawlika bakin, bakin. Why have you reacted like this? He said, Inni uridu an akuna min ahliha. He said, Ya Rasulullah, this jannat you are talking about, I want this jannat. Inni uridu an akuna min ahliha. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you are a jannati. Allah has granted it to you. Eating some dates. Look at the reaction. Look at the conviction on the promises of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the shock and inclination for amal. We don't want to hesitate to lose out on one financial opportunity. Sahaba had that kind of shock, that kind of jazba, that kind of spirit of competition for amal. Because understand, accept it or don't accept it, the fakir, the pauper,
The pauper, the loser of this dunya and akhirat is the pauper and the loser of amal, not mal. Today we feel we've lost out if we haven't earned wealth. Wealth is Allah's distribution. It has nothing to do with your lineage or your intelligence. Wealth is Allah's distribution. Sahaba, there were many poor, there were many rich. Sahaba could not tolerate being a pauper in amal. They understood the real pauper is the pauper of amal, the pauper of qabr, the pauper of hashar, the pauper of the day of judgment is the real pauper. The faqir, the bankrupt, the loser is the one who has lost out in amal. Sahabi hears this. You are a jannati. What is the reaction? He's eating some dates. La in hayitu ila an akula tamarati hada lakana hayatan tawila. If I remain alive as long as it takes me to eat these dates, what am I waiting for? What am I waiting for? The point I wanted to make is look at how Allahu Akbar, the Sahabi, as he is striving in the path of Allah, as he is going towards Jannah, in the form of a poem, he encapsulates these verses of the Quran. He encapsulates the hadith of Rasulullah. He encapsulates the spirit of competition which my Allah and his Rasul encouraged. Like I said, deen is Islam is deen a fitrat. It is natural to be competitive. Change the direction of your competition. Look at how he encapsulates this. Rakdan ilallahi bi ghayri zadi illa tuqa wa.
It's gone 11 minutes to 11 Central African time. We've come to the end of our show. We say Jazakallah Khairan to you, the listener of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Let me give you the rundown for the shows that are to follow. Inshallah, at 11 a.m. will be the Fiqh program with Maulana Zaid Khan and Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab. The day after, it will take us up to 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock will be the news. And day after will be the news hour with Alpha Sinkosi. 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Azan. 5 plus 1 to 1:30 will be the Tafsir of Surah Al-A'raf, verses 158. 1:30 to 2 will be the repeat of the tafsir from the archive, Surah Baqarah verses 248. 2 o'clock will be the lunch break with Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 4 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A and Nasiha. 4 to 5 will be an Urdu lecture by Haji Farooq Sahab, Guntur Ijtima. And there will be advices and nasiha that was given at the istima. Then 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of the tafsir you heard at 1 o'clock. That will be Surah A'raf verses 158. 7 to 7:30 will be 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Dawood Sirat. 8 to 9 will be the olive tree with myself. And then 9 to 10 will be Qalb Salim with Maulana Salim Kareem. 10 to 11 will be a lecture by Maulana Ahmed Parak, and that is titled A Free Syria. Then from 11 to 12 will be Sheikh Anwar Al-Awlaki Al-Shahid Rahmatullah Alayhi. And that was your lineup for today. Jazakallah khairan to you, the listener of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Inshallah, we will continue to listen to the lecture of Maulana Sulaiman Qatani, and that is the quality of a true Muslim. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You are listening to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.